You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This is The Drive Zone on Zone Radio, 88.5, the voice of the valley, and it is now 14 minutes past four, and it's time. It's something I look forward to each, so every 2 weeks. I mean, I start counting the sleeps from, you know, from tonight. I start counting the sleeps until the next time that we
see. You lie.
Yeah, I do.
I know.
Hello, Jeffrey Ernest Kahn. How the hell are you?
Hello, the unicorn. How are you doing? You're looking very spiffy today.
I got ahead of the game here. Because you're normally the one that comes in here with a dodgy shirt. I've got a dodgy shirt on today.
Admit it.
No, and I want to tell you why I've done this. So you know what they say. If you really want to understand things, you've got to walk in another man's shoes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, this is a good thing to do because when you walk a mile in another man's shoes,
you don't get nowhere with that shirt.
You walk a mile in another man's shoes. The net result of all of that is that you're a mile away from the oak, for starters, and you've got his shoes. So now you can know what it feels like to sit and look at a dodgy shirt. There we go.
Look, that's more than dodgy.
So you can sit now and you can feel exactly what I have to deal with. Every 2 weeks. And there you are in a plain blue, respectable looking shirt.
You've never said that before.
Yeah. But I did this so that you can know how it feels.
You did this.
Walk in another man's shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a bit hectic.
All right.
People, you must see this shirt. It's scary. But anyway, okay. We move on.
We do indeed.
We've got scary stuff to talk about today.
In-laws.
Oh. It could be good. It could be bad. Well, there's nothing wrong with in-laws. In-laws are fine. There's nothing wrong with it. It's when it gets toxic that it gets a bit hectic. And you know what? You can't choose your family. And unfortunately, this gets dumped on you. So I just wanted to talk today a little bit about in-laws and survival laws for in-laws, because we have to get on with in-laws. And not only from my mother-in-law point of view or my father-in-law point of view, but from the daughter-in-law point of view.
Well, there you go. If you're married, everybody's an in-law. You know what I mean? Yes, okay.
Yeah, and are they outlaws or in-laws? Yeah. I don't know, but I just want to go through a few things and maybe as we do, just have a general discussion, Richard, on it and try and help people just get to grips with how to handle it as best they can, because they can't really change things. And, so let's have a look at 15 signs of a toxic in-law.
Right, before we do that, if anybody has got a question or observation about in-laws, WhatsApp us on 072-447-8044. All yours.
All mine. Yeah, I don't have any in-laws at the moment that I've met, but I've had them in the past. Yes. Well, we move on. Okay. So here's 15 signs of a toxic in-law.
15 signs.
15 signs.
Just 15.
No, it's only, well.
You cut it down to 15?
I put it on a short list. Because I think if you've got more than six, you're in trouble anyway. Yeah. Okay. So they have no boundaries. Okay. They have no boundaries. So there's no boundary.
These are toxic in-laws.
Toxic in-laws. Yeah. No boundaries. They phone you day and night. They'll harass you, whatever it is. And now we're talking from a newly married couple, and they've got a father-in-law and a mother-in-law and whatever, and so no boundaries. Okay, they aren't kind to you. Okay, you don't feel that they're kind. They talk about you behind your back. In fact, sometimes even in front, you get people that talk about you in front of you. They make decisions about your life. Now it starts getting hectic because, you know, the mother-in-law and the father-in-law are making, and interesting enough, Richard, it's normally the woman that clash here.
Mm.
Guys are quite easy. You know, we say, you're an idiot, and you're an idiot as well, and I don't like you, and I don't like it. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's the woman that gets hectic. And we know the whole thing about the mother-in-law, and my mother-in-law's, you know, she got a moustache and all that kind of stuff. Mm. So all that stuff. But they make decisions about your life. They try and control your relationship. So now we know it's getting a bit toxic because they're trying to do all these things. They kind of give you the silent treatment, and that's a passive-aggressive way of handling things. Nothing makes them happy. They blame you for everything. Okay, you, my new daughter-in-law, and it's your fault now. I've lost my son, and you to blame for everything, okay, or vice versa. They disapprove of you. Verbally or non-verbally, they just do not they didn't approve of this marriage, and my son deserves better, or my daughter deserves better. So they pretend to love you, but they don't really love you. Pretend, and when you pretend to give somebody compliments or pretend to love, it really, it does stand out. I mean, you just can't, it's just there. It's in black and white. They give you unsolicited advice as well. They start telling you how to handle things, how to run your kids, how to run your household, what they did, what they would do. They interfere financially. Now, I don't think that's a good idea that you buy a new car, or I don't think it's a good idea that you buy that kind of pram. That's very expensive. Or, you know, all those kind of things. They emotionally blackmail you. They use your feelings against you. They might make you feel guilty or sad to get you and your spouse to do what they want. And they play with your emotions. And they also sabotage special moments. Mm. So that could be your father-in-law, mother-in-law. They try and do that. And then let's look at the other way around, though, because I know people that have got new daughter-in-laws now. So the son has been married and they've got daughter-in-laws. So I had a look at that.
Mm-hmm.
And here's some signs you've got a toxic daughter-in-law. Okay. She's not interested in creating a bond with the family. She keeps your son away and she's not interested in the weekend or the braai or coming to the braai. They've always got something else on and she will create an issue. She's bothered about herself only. She's very self-orientated. She's insensitive. She says things that are not right. She's unpredictable, very controlling perhaps. She's dominating. She dominates the conversation. She dominates your son. She dominates everything around the other parts of the family on the occasions that she is there, like Christmas or birthday or something. She dominates that. She's disrespectful towards you and others. And we'll come back to respect just now because it's quite a big thing. She blames you for everything that goes wrong. You as the mother of her husband, everything is wrong, or the father of her husband. She's actually quite rude, actually, most of the time. She's extremely moody. She involves your son in insignificant matters that are not important that she could quite easily sort out with you as a mother-in-law. She plays an emotional card, so it's going vice versa here. She manipulates things often, so she can try and use tactics to get around what they want. She spreads negative words about you on social media and Facebook and my mother-in-law and sort of this devil thing coming up.
But this could be a guy, a son-in-law too.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yeah. She's ungrateful or he's ungrateful. But I'm going to talk about son-in-laws just now as well because they're a little bit – I don't know. It just seems a little bit less complicated when you're dealing with a male. Male, you know, than the two females or the female. It just seems that. He doesn't allow you to spend time with your son or the grandchildren. He doesn't call you, doesn't text you, doesn't say hi at any time. He's not bothered about your milestones, your 66th birthday or your 60th birthday. It's not really important. Anniversaries, it's not important to her. She behaves sweetly in front of others, and that's a sign of a toxic, manipulative person that also is not lekker for the family, you know. She makes constant excuses not to see you. Okay, so especially when you've got a grandchild, you know, you want to see your grandchild. You know, you can't be there all the time, but they, you know, you're lucky. You've got. We're going to talk about your situation now, but you're lucky. You've got a great daughter-in-law, and you know, your son's happy and everybody's fine. And you can see your grandson when you want to.
I've also got a great mother-in-law.
Have you?
Yes.
She awesome?
Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
Well, ex-mother-in-law.
Oh, dear.
Yes.
Ex-mother-in-law. Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah.
From that point of view. Okay. No, that's cool. Okay. Well, that's been, you know, that's what it should be.
Yeah.
I'm just talking here. If you are in trouble here, let's work it through and see if we can help you understand how to handle it. And then I want to talk from a son-in-law survival guide. Five tips that help you create a better relationship with your daughter's husband. Now, you know, guys can be funny sometimes, okay? So welcome the son-in-law into the family. And that should happen, you know, generally, but sounds obvious, but sometimes parents resist this. Respect your daughter's boundaries, if you can. Leave your daughter in charge of trying to change him, which you will find out she can't, okay, because you can't change people. Don't compete for your daughter's attention, okay, either. And then try and spend some time together. So, tell me a little about your ex-mother-in-law.
Well, I've got this dynamic. Of course, I was married, and we got divorced. Nicolette and I were married for, and Donovan is the product of that marriage and that union. And so there I have a mother-in-law, and I had a father-in-law, great guy. Then, of course, there was Judy and her parents, and I adored her mother. I absolutely adored Judy's mother. She was – I was probably one of the few people in the world who could get on with her because she was a difficult lady. But I adored her, and I still miss her. Her father I didn't really get to know too well. He was a great guy, but when I got into Judy's life, he was really rather ill and deteriorating. So I didn't get to spend too much time with him, but he was like a quiet type. He didn't, he'd stare you down, and that was about as good as it was going to get. But my mother-in-law from my marriage, Nicolette's mother, to this day, she and Nicolette remarried. Okay, to this day, I'm still her Lieberskwentchen. That's what she calls me, my Lieberskwentchen. Okay. And she is just a rock and roll artist. She's absolutely amazing. I think she's 86 or something like that. And she's still going at the same pace she was going at when I knew her. Nice. Wonderful lady. But here's the thing. It didn't start that way.
Ah.
It didn't start that way. Nicolette's father was an absolute gentle giant. He was a huge, huge man. Absolute gentle giant. One of the nicest people you'll ever meet. And one of the kindest people you'll ever meet. I got on with him from day one. But with my mother-in-law, that was a different situation. The reason the relationship is still what it is today is because back then we had to set some boundaries.
Ah, here we go.
We had to iron out some issues.
Sorted out some problems.
And once we sorted those things out, okay, it's been a breeze ever since. And her name is Maggie. I adore her. And she's a rock star as far as I'm concerned.
So it's all about communication again, isn't it?
But it took some work.
Yeah.
And that's the point. The point is that sometimes it starts out rather rocky. It starts out with all this toxic stuff that we're talking about. But if one is aware of it, as we're trying to do here, and you're able to address it with the person, it becomes an opportunity for really, Maggie is now 86 years old. If anything ever happened to her, I'd be devastated. Sure. But the relationship that I had with my ex-wife after our divorce, that also kept her in our lives.
Involved,
it wasn't that the whole door was closed. Yeah. And she was initially hurt by the fact that we separated, but these things happen. Sure. She understood that, and she's never actually held it against either one of us.
Yeah.
And she still remained. So I think that, but it started out rough.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Well, that's okay. You sorted it out. And that's probably all that what it's all about in any relationship, really.
Yeah.
If you want to make it work. And good for you that you made it work and that you went through it and you went through the bumps. And that's like any relationship. But we can't choose our in-laws. We can't choose, when I say in-laws, the mother, father, or the son, daughter.
Yeah.
Or your brother-in-law or your brother-in-law's wife or that kind of stuff. It even goes further in the circle, and everybody gets together once a year, or you get together every weekend.
Mm.
I had a situation before the mother of my kids got on extremely well with my mother-in-law. She was an ex-head of maternity at Kimberley Hospital. Mm. She brought up six kids on her own. She was a rock to those kids, and we got on extremely well, and it was great. And every weekend they were at the house, and my brother-in-laws, I got on extremely well with them. So it's all good. It's just when it doesn't work, it can cause a lot of nonsense. And you've got grandchildren growing up in a toxic environment, and so that's really what I'm trying to.
The thing about that is, if you've got a friend where you have that, or a group of friends where you've got that situation, you can actually say, okay, I'm walking away from that. I don't need to deal with this. I'm out of here. But when it's an in-law, now this Christmas, you know, what do you do?
Yeah. It's uncomfortable, isn't it? It's awkward.
I've been, and I'd like to think my dad was a great father-in-law. Mm. My father was, and my mother was a great mother-in-law. So, and the thing about that is, I would like to think that I'm a decent father-in-law and that Nicolette is a decent mother-in-law. And Nicolette, I know, is as well. Because Donovan's wife is an absolute wonderful woman.
You know, you see, this is all working out perfectly. Okay.
But the thing is that there is a conscious decision not to interfere in their life. There's a conscious decision not to tell them how to raise their child. There's a conscious decision not to tell them that what house they should live in and how they should arrange their furniture.
Richard.
The only thing that we want from them, or I want from them, is to be able to spend quality time. And everything else can, you know.
Well, it's supposed to be like that.
Yes.
You remember when you got married, you wouldn't want somebody to interfere with your life.
No.
You have a way of doing. You discuss with your wife, what are we going to do in our new? We're 25 years old. We just got married. Or we're 30 or whatever it is. We've got a baby. We've got to find our way. They also don't know. They're also doing the best they can.
Yes.
And then you come along with your experience and saying, well, it could be a bad experience or a good experience, saying, well, I don't know. Private schools, I'm not so sure it's a good thing. And you think, well, private school must be a great thing, or going to a different kind of activity. No, well, don't let him play rugby, or let him play rugby. And then, you know, there's so many things that can go wrong in the communication and growing up. So we need to know there are boundaries. Listen, you stay on your side of the fence. The gate's always open. Mm. It's great, but let's not fight because
come through the gate. Don't come over the fence.
There we go. We have to learn to live with each other, and I think that's important. When I was researching, I looked at thing up, and there's a thing called the golden rule, and there are lots of golden rules, but this particular golden rule is universal. It's a moral principle of treating others as you like to be treated yourself. That's called the golden rule, right? Mm. So imagine living in a world that consists of us living, loving and respecting, there's the word that I was waiting for, respecting and collaborating with others in the same manner that we treat ourselves. Now, that's called respect, right? I'll treat you the way I'd like to be treated. And that is the golden rule. And it's also known as the ethic of reciprocity.
Huh?
The ethic of reciprocity.
You
the
must
golden
have practiced
rule.
That.
Yeah, I did. So I think it's all about respect. You know, I respect your space. You respect mine. You respect that I need to see my grandchildren, that I'd like to see my son or my daughter, and that everybody kind of gets along without pressing on each other's toes and staying in our lanes and making sure we love each other to the best that we can and looking after. And when somebody's in trouble, you know, you're a phone call away, no matter what, if you haven't seen him for a week or two. But you can phone any single time you want to, and it's fine. I'm open. I'm there. You know, we're there to support you, and we love you, and all that stuff. And that's the beautiful side of this whole thing. Mm. So just be careful of not creating a toxic environment. Sometimes people are spoilt, and they come into marriages, and they're spoilt from their childhood. They've got lots of money, or they've got this, and they're expecting things and all that. Just be careful of that, because you need to understand that not everybody has the same view as you do, perhaps, or has been brought up like you do. So be careful. And so that's really what I wanted to chat about today. Not too long, not too short. There's so many. Everybody's got a different dynamic in their family. It's but everybody's got an in-law, and you know, everything for everybody is different.
Mm.
So we can't really pinpoint everything. No. We can just point out a few things that might be good, but. You know, the grandchildren are important to the grandparents, guys. Yes. Just understand that pictures are important. You know, if you're doing something in the garden, you might forget about it. But take a picture and send it to the grandparents. They love that. Absolutely love that. And we don't think about that when we're 30.
I think that a lot of – look, again, I'm not the expert here. I'm just talking from my own personal experience.
Sure,
I think that the underlying issue here is I raised my son – or we raised our son, and then the other side of it, you've got we raised our daughter, and now somebody else is taking responsibility for a life that we were responsible for up to a point.
Sure.
And part of that is relinquishing that responsibility and doing so gracefully. Because when you start to try and stay too involved, that's when it becomes a problem.
Sure.
That's when you're encroaching on things. Now, the biggest risk, I believe, that in-laws run by doing that is that the husband and wife, the son and daughter-in-law, you know, they are going to be far more united on their front, then the in-laws are going to be, the parents-in-law are going to be in trying to intrude.
Yep.
You understand what I'm saying?
Correct.
And at that point, they will team up and say, listen, we're not interested in either one of you.
Yeah, no, when the team-up happens.
Yeah, that's when you start losing the relationship.
Ground. You
okay?
start losing ground.
And it, but if you address that quickly, okay, then there's hope.
And that's what we're saying. You know, communicate, talk like you did as well. I think it's quite important to understand human behavior or social styles, as we call it. Understand that the analytical, the amiable, the driver, and the expressive personalities. Try and understand that, because that'll also help you manage the situation as well. And I think that's that would be a great thing to be able to do. But, you know, naturally, just love from the heart and stop, you know, don't try and create something that is not, doesn't have to be.
Give
toxic.
Your kids space.
Absolutely.
Give your kids space.
Everybody's space.
That's what you need to do. I was very, very lucky. And look, I was also lucky because Nicolette's, and I'm talking about Nicolette's mother now.
Yeah.
Her and I played sport together. We both played the same sport and we, you know. And we used to go on tours together, Nicolette and her mom and myself, and we always used to go on sports tours together. And the problem there was that we used to have so much fun together. Nicolette used to think, what are your problem? You
Brilliant.
Know? Mom, mom, you're not a teenager anymore. You know what I mean?
Yes, I am.
So, yeah, it was a good to great. I've no issues, really no issues, but I have seen this become a terrible, terrible thing.
Yeah, and it really turns, it can turn ugly. And
it impacts on the kids.
Oh, and the kids lose connection with their grandparents because of the parents. And it's a, so we I'm trying to just say, just be aware, both sides, just be aware that, you know, and the youngsters don't really get it. They're so busy trying to make they don't have the experience. You know, we older people got experience of, oh, that hurt that person, or I've hurt one of my friends hurt that and whatever. But just, I just think it's important to be aware. And that's where we're at the moment.
Well, Leo Hayden says, how's it, Jeff? Great topic.
I've been
blessed with a wonderful parents-in-law. Even now, after all we've been through, still very close. There was some adjusting that happened over the years, but when both sides are sincere, it works out. And that is kind of the message. That is the golden rule, essentially, when it comes to in-laws.
Yeah.
I think it's a great topic that you brought to the table. I really
Thanks, Rich. Yeah, I think it's. I think we deal with it every day, and we try on this program. You and I, we try and help people deal with everyday stuff. So here we go. So good luck, everybody, with your mother-in-law.
Yeah.
And go for it. And, just be happy, guys, and love each other.
But I do think that the message is that it can be a very rewarding relationship.
Yes.
But it's not one that's – you're very lucky if it just falls into place.
Yes,
it
correct.
Is one that requires work, as does any relationship. So there we
right.
go.
Quite right, Rich. Thanks.
All right, Jeff, you can go now. I'm done with you. And you'll be back again on Monday.
Yes, I'm back on Monday.
And there will be a podcast for this. And Jeff's details will be on the podcast. There's a link on the podcast. You can link to that. And you can get hold of him if you want to speak to him about relationships, because he is the relationship doctor. Hey.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Patient.
Yes.
Be patient with me.
take care, Jeff. Thanks, eh?
Thanks a lot. Cheers, everybody.